Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Okay, you've kind of like hit that place of the peace of God, and you kind of think, I don't know what to do, God. I'll just do what God gave me and trust that this is going to get through and this is going to speak to you this morning. It's certainly spoken to me since God really triggered something off in me. This probably started back at Faith Camp when the Israeli ambassador to the UK was speaking on Wednesday morning. I'm still amazed at that. You know, I was thinking to myself, what other Christian camp has the ambassador of Israel to the UK speaking at their conference? I don't know of any. It's like, that's just an amazing, amazing privilege to have someone of such high profile come. And I was just watching this ambassador, and once I'd got the Ferrero Rocher joke out of my head and managed to get my head around that, you know, if you were born after 93, 94, you probably don't know the Ferrero Rocher advert with the ambassador's reception. I do apologise, I was going to have Ferrero Rochers for everybody this morning, but I just didn't get a chance to get them, so never mind. But as I was watching, this got me thinking about, I was watching him and being an ambassador for his nation and being a great witness for his nation, being a great advert for his nation in so many ways. And it just got me thinking about the whole being ambassadors for Christ. It's something that's mentioned in scripture, which we'll come to soon. And this has been ticking over, and I've been thinking a lot about that. I'm watching his role as the ambassador to the UK from Israel. And what does that mean for us as ambassadors for Christ? Because we're called to be ambassadors. And to be ambassadors is a big responsibility. He had a massive responsibility on that Wednesday morning to come and portray his nation, the leaders of his nation and the people of his nation in a good light. Because that's his job, that's his role, is to, as the ambassador, it's to show the positives of his nation. He did a great job. It was great. You know, a lot of people in that room would have had a love for Israel anyway, but he did a great job at bringing across something of his nation, which the news doesn't publicise very much, which we don't read in papers very much, but we heard it straight from the mouth of the ambassador, how amazing that place is, and some of the pictures that he was showing and some of the stuff he was showing was just amazing to hear. But so for us as ambassadors, and in Proverbs, Isaiah and Jeremiah, we find this particular word, which is envoy, which means ambassador. So it's an Old Testament thing. As well as in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of himself as Christ's ambassador. And I love that description because we've got so many ways of describing ourselves, Jesus followers, Christians, witnesses, Bible bashers, Jesus freaks, whatever names you want to choose to describe yourself as a follower of Jesus and someone who has a faith in Jesus. But I love the description that Paul uses to say, I'm Christ's ambassador. And when I think about that, I think, okay, that sounds a little bit more official than just some of the other things that we knock around. Being an ambassador sounds official. It was official. You know, there's the security and everything everywhere at Faith Camp when the ambassador's been there the last 2 years. And there's these guys in the suits and the little earpieces and proper, like, full-on security. And like the only time I've seen security like that was, like, outside a nightclub or something. So it's kind of like the first year when they all walked in, I was kind of like, I didn't realise that this guy was going to be there. And I thought Pastor Colin had just upped his security. It was like Pastor Colin walked in, there's these guys everywhere that looked like agents from the Matrix or something. It's like, flipping heck, is he expecting something to go wrong or something? And it turned out, okay, yeah, it makes sense now. And it was great to see that. But it comes across as an official thing. In Ephesians 6:20, this is where Paul, the Apostle Paul, says this. He says, I'm in chains now. He was in prison at the time. Still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. So he speaks of himself as God's ambassador. But then he also describes every Jesus follower has been an ambassador for the Lord as well. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we, that's talking about anybody that's given their life to Jesus and become a follower of him. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. The message is simple. We're speaking on Christ's behalf. We make a plead. We speak for Christ when we say, come back to God. We're not saying it for our own sake. I think sometimes we do that, don't we? We're more passionate about seeing somebody come to faith in Jesus just so we can stop having the arguments about faith with them and that they'll just side with us. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm sick of all this, you know. Can they just get saved so we're not having this confrontation all the time and we can agree and this is the right thing, the Bible's right, yes, Jesus is the Saviour, and we can move on from that. But realistically, our motivation is that we're pleading for Christ on his behalf, come back to God. So what is an ambassador? So I kind of started looking into this as to what an actual ambassador of a nation looks like. Because if Paul's describing us as Christ's ambassadors, there's got to be some form of description in there that describes how we function and work on earth. And as an ambassador is a representative, one who represents another. He or she goes to foreign country and represents the throne and the government of their own people. They go and they are a representative of the throne and the government of their own people. So when they go into another nation, they're not just representing a group of people. They're not just representing one particular person or one particular belief. They are the representative of that people and its authorities. I think, man, that's a responsibility. Everything you say on the news, in an interview, to somebody personally, you're speaking for your whole nation. And I was thinking, man, you just say one wrong thing and you could quite easily put yourself in a position where everybody says, well, this nation thinks this towards these people or this nation thinks this because the ambassador said it. And you think, whoa, that's a big, big responsibility. And, you know, the guy, the Israeli ambassador at Faith Camp, you wouldn't have known because he was so relaxed and he came across, he was such a good communicator. And he didn't say anything out of turn. He was obviously very well equipped to do what he was doing. But to be a representative of a throne, a government and of its people is also the case for us because we are the true ambassadors of Christ, representatives of the King of Heaven and of heaven itself in a foreign country, this world. We are representatives of the King of Heaven. We are representatives of heaven in a foreign country here on earth because heaven is our home. Yeah. Heaven is our home nation. Heaven is the place where, you know, we'd be cheering for heaven in the Olympics if it would be a bit unfair, really, wouldn't it? You know, like, it won't be Team GB, it'd be Team Heaven, but it'd be like, oh man, this is just not pointless. Playing. It's like, we'll just leave it. You guys win every time. Because he's already won the victory on the cross, you see. Yeah. So they'd be going into every Olympic tournament knowing the victory. Yeah, okay. Some people laughed. Anyway. It's bank holiday, I'll let you off. Now, as we do that, we represent heaven here in this world. So we become ambassadors of another place to the world. To the earth, to the people that are here. And the cool thing is that Christ is our representative in heaven. We represent him on earth, but he represents us in heaven. Yeah. Hebrews 9:24, he entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. Mm. How cool is that? Very. I'd much rather have Jesus representing me than trying to do it myself. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, you... Go on, I'll kind of like stand behind you. You go forward. You know, you're obviously really good at this. Kind of, you've got this down. You represent him. So we represent him here, but he represents us in heaven. And we are his personal representatives here on the earth. However, none of us can truly represent the Lord in our own strength. But when he sends us to go, we go with all the resources of heaven behind us. Yes. How good's that? So when an ambassador is sent to a nation, they go with the resources of that nation as well. They go with the backing of that nation. I'm not entirely sure financially how that works and how that looks, but they go with the backing of that nation and they go equipped by that nation. And we, when we are sent of heaven, we are sent with the resources of heaven. which is much better than a nice car, which is a much better than all the things that you might associate with a earthly ambassador. What we go with from heaven is the resources to do what we're asked to do. And that's not necessarily about being affluent. That is about being Christ's representatives and living how he wants us to live. How we are true ambassadors is living that way with and using those resources, using the fruits of the Spirit, using the gifts of the Spirit, using what it is that God has gifted to us to say, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go and be my ambassadors across the world. And I'm empowering you to do it. Here you go. It's almost like, go and be the ambassador to this nation. Here's a blank checkbook, if people use checkbooks anymore. Here's an endless credit card or something. They even have credit cards in Monopoly these days. It's like crazy, isn't it? I'm not kidding, they do. They do. It's not just money anymore. You have a little card machine and everything. I don't think they've got contactless in Monopoly yet, but it's getting there. I can't play Monopoly anyway. I've never learned how to do it. But, you know, that whole thing of... we go with the backing of heaven and all its resources, and it's a great thing to know that the whole of heaven is behind us when we do that. Like, the whole of a nation should be behind its ambassador. The whole of heaven is behind us. And he's our sufficiency, is the one who equips us. And we go in his name. We go in his name. And that's a massive responsibility. We talk about the responsibility somebody has going, representing a nation, but going and representing Jesus and representing heaven is a responsibility as well. And it's something that we shouldn't take lightly. When we live a certain way, we should always recognize that if people know that we are a Jesus follower, they know that we're an ambassador for Christ, and they're looking to us as to what's right. The other day I was speaking to somebody and they were a bit upset about something that had happened, and they were saying, and that it's just not what I'd expect, how I'd expect this person to behave, that this person's not, doesn't know Jesus. It's just not how I'd expect somebody to behave, especially somebody that's a Christian, they shouldn't behave this way. I wouldn't necessarily say the person they were talking about is a Christian, really, but they think they are. And I was thinking, that really shocked me. I was like, oh man, this is just like, you kind of like get upset about it. You want to try and like think, oh no, we're not all like that. And you want to go to defend and like say, you can't really mar Christianity with the acts of this one particular person. It's not really like that. Most of us try our best and we try to do what God wants us to do. But I just thought, I'm just going to have to leave it because I'm just going to dig a hole here and just let God do the work with that. But we have a responsibility that when we go bearing the name of Jesus to be a good ambassador for Jesus, not getting into a situation where we kind of, people know we're a Jesus follower, but we don't live how Jesus has asked us to live. That's not being a good ambassador for Christ. That's kind of just messing things up, really. And it's a responsibility. It really is. And yes, we make mistakes and there's grace, but there's also, wisdom to know what to do and just put those things right and do the right thing. And when we look at that, we see people see something, and the Israeli ambassador did a great job of portraying his nation and causing you to love that place even more. And if we're good ambassadors for Christ, we cause people to love him more, because the way we portray him and the way that we live for him is a great way of representing it. So let's notice the different things that rest upon an ambassador for Christ, because there's always a reason and a purpose for a nation to have an ambassador. So the marks, the message and the motive of a God ambassador, of Jesus' ambassador. So the marks of an ambassador for God. First and foremost, my number one is there must be a citizen of heaven. There must be a citizen of heaven. No alien can ever represent our queen or our government in a foreign court. They have to be homegrown. That makes sense. We can't have someone who's a foreign representative represent her government in a foreign court. Apparently, found that really interesting. So, a true ambassador for Christ must be in Christ, must be a new creation, and must have been redeemed through Christ. Basically, they have to have been saved. They have to be spirit-filled. They have to be someone that is a full-out, full-on Jesus follower. Otherwise, they cannot represent heaven truly. They may say they do, but anybody could say, well, I'm the ambassador to this nation, but they might not really be the ambassador to that nation. As we represent Jesus, we must be a citizen of heaven, first of all. We have to be a part of that. That has to be our home. That has to be our location and our point. Number two, they must be of good character. Now, our queen or our government would never send someone on an ambassador role with a doubtful character, because you're kind of setting yourself up for a few falls, really, aren't you? Like, let's just send this guy to go and represent our nation, and they say loads of silly things, do loads of silly things, and you're like, oh no, what are they doing? What's going on? But the Lord requires that his ambassadors should live lives that are above suspicion. And I thought, yeah, live above suspicion. To thinking about, no, yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we get stuff wrong. Yes, things just don't always work out for us. But our goal should always be to be of good character. That we can't, people are always going to be looking to put stuff on you. I sometimes feel for myself, this is probably more to do with being a pastor of a church rather than being a Jesus follower, but people are always looking for you to do stuff wrong. It's kind of like they want you to get it wrong, and they like question you on stuff, and kind of like trying to get you to trip up or asking you certain questions about, well, what about this and what about that? And you're kind of like really having to draw on the wisdom of God. And because this one's like, yeah, I told you were rubbish, or I told you. Like, basically, people want to prove God wrong and prove God's existence wrong. And one of the key ways of doing that is to try and get a believer to trip up. They can say, well, I told you it was wrong all along because you've made this mistake. I thought, well, no, I've just made a mistake. You can't judge the God of the universe based on my mistakes. It just doesn't work like that. But, you know, I kind of find myself in these situations like, oh, man, I've got to be a bit more careful what I say here. I've got to be a bit more ambassador-like and just sometimes zip it or not say anything. That's not always just outside the church either. It sometimes feels like it's inside as well. But, you know, we're all God's ambassadors and we all make mistakes sometimes. But it says this in Philippians 2, 14 to 15. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Perverse people. Like, man, that pretty much lays it out clean, doesn't it? That's what I like about the Christian faith. It's not grey, is it? It's like it is or it isn't. Like, just don't do it. Don't live this way. Live this way. Don't do that. Do this. Stay away from that. Draw near to this. We kind of like, we complicate it sometimes. I think, oh, well, maybe it kind of means this. Or in this translation, it could mean this. Or the way I had this person teaching on it, and it meant this. It's like, no, a lot of the stuff is like straight down the line, really. Sure. We can try and adjust it as much as we like, but it doesn't change. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. It is the word of God. It is the God-breathed, inspired word of God. So do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Now, that's difficult, and that is hard, but we have been equipped with all the power of heaven to do that. And without that, we can't do it. It's impossible. Have you ever tried to live that out without God's backing or power? It just doesn't work. You kind of like just fall at the first hurdle, really. But when the power of God is there and the backing of heaven there and the resource of heaven is there, we can live that way. And yes, as I said, we're going to get things wrong. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. But we've also got a great way of being able to put those things right. And that's what I kind of like. I'm one of these people that if I know I've done something wrong, I'm kind of like working frantically to put that thing right. Like, I don't know, I've made this mistake. I've got to put it right now or go crazy and eventually get there, put it right. But, you know, people are always going to be looking to criticize, even if you're doing the right thing. Even if it's a good thing, people are going to criticize. And we see that all the time, don't we? That someone could be a representative of a particular nation and they do a great job, but somebody's going to criticize something. Didn't like the tie he was wearing, didn't like the car that he drove in. So people just like to do that. But we don't want to be given any more reason for that to be the case. And that was a great example of the ambassador at Faith Camp on the Wednesday, that he just, the way he portrayed himself and his nation, you didn't come away with anything you felt you could criticise about. It was like, yeah, pretty much a star, top of the class. Good job. Okay. They must be in constant contact with the throne. By prayer, we can be in constant contact with the throne of God. And how necessary for a true ambassador to be in contact with the one that they are representing. So an ambassador needs to be in constant contact with the throne or the government of its nation, constantly checking out what's happened, what's this, what do you want me to do about this, what's happening with this, what about that. Otherwise they come out of touch, and what might have changed over here, they're unaware of. And they're then representing something which has changed, or something's not quite right, or this is supposed to happen over here, but what they're still doing over here is different because the lack of connection's gone. But if we're constantly in contact with God, the good thing is we know that God's never going to change. He's the yesterday, today, the same forever. He's everlasting. But we need to be in constant contact with him, because the closer we are to him, the more likely we are to be like him. Have you ever noticed that if you spend time with somebody long enough, you start to become more like that person? Most people can even start to change your accent. You know, my accent starts to go back Yorkshire when I visit home. Elijah's kind of got this Leicestershire Midlands hybrid, which one of my sister-in-law said sounds South African. Like, hey, it just sounds South African. I was like, okay, I haven't quite seen that yet. But yeah, he's got this hybrid accent. But if he spends time at home as well, the more Yorkshire comes out. And then at the moment, he's kind of in this middle phase. But I know as soon as he starts back at playgroup next week, his accent's going to become more Leicestershire again, because there's going to be around the Leicestershire kids and Leicestershire staff. And so it starts to go that way. Because the people we spend more time with, we start to sound like them. You know, it's always funny if people come back from holiday, especially from America. They're like, they come back from America like speaking with an American accent. Like, you've been there for a week. Like, why are you speaking that way? You know, it's like, oh, they watch lots of American films and they start sounding American. Because it's all going in, it's all this. So the more we spend time with the King, Jesus, the more we sound like him. Yeah. And an ambassador should sound as much like the person they represent more and more. Mm. So if someone is representing a particular nation, they should sound, the answers they give and the attitude they have should be as if the leader themselves were there. That is what an ambassador is there to do. They're there to represent that particular person who can't spread himself over all these nations. There's the one leader of the nation. The ambassadors are there to represent that person and his nation. So if an ambassador for the US should, at this moment in time for a bit longer, portray something of Barack Obama, the answers that he gives should sound like him. And that whole mentality should be the same. So when we represent Jesus to the world, we should be more and more like he is. And the only way we can do that is, one, finding out what he did by reading the Bible, and two, spending lots of time before his throne in prayer and worship. Because the more time we spend with him, the more like him we become. And therefore, a better ambassador we become. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Cool. We must be steadfast and loyal. In Ephesians 6:20, which we looked at before, the Apostle Paul is in prison, but how willingly he suffered the chains for Christ's sake. I always love the writings of Paul, that there's never any complaining comes out of Paul. I always like think, man, this guy really set the bar high of what it was to live the Christian life and be an ambassador for Christ, because, you know, how utterly faithful and loyal he was to his king. He just got on with it, didn't he? And I know that I can complain. I can get into a place sometimes where I complain and I'm like, I've got to stop. You know, I've got to live in such a way that I'm like Paul, that even if I'm in chains and I'm in prison, I'm still proclaiming with boldness the message of God. I'm still proclaiming what he has got to say, because as we do that, as we live in such a way, we start to see the steadfast spirit and the loyalty towards God. Number five, they must be diplomatic. Diplomatic. Diplomacy is the art of negotiation. A good ambassador is good at negotiating. A good ambassador can negotiate in such a way. And diplomacy is that. It's the art of negotiation. But we have no wisdom of our own, and we certainly don't have the wisdom we need to turn people to Jesus. We don't have the wisdom we need to win souls and to represent the Lord before men. We just don't have it in and of ourselves. But we have a great promise that God will fulfill in us if we ask him. And I love this. James 1:5. This is, again, it's one of those really straight down the line things. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Wow. That easy? That easy? I've got to say that that's probably my most common prayer. God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. I'm speaking to this person. God, give me wisdom. Elijah wants to do this. God, give me wisdom. Should we go here? God, give me wisdom. That, what is the wise thing that I should do? And it's a good question to ask, what's the wise thing to do? But then I also need God's wisdom to answer that question. What is the wise thing to do? And we need to recognise that when we ask for that, God gives us it. So we're in these situations of discussions and a bit of like diplomacy and a bit of negotiation, a bit of people are asking this and backwards and forwards. We constantly need to be letting the wisdom of God flow. I love some of the stuff that's available, like evangelism training and different things you can use to take people step by step through things. But in the heat of the moment, when you find yourself in a situation and these questions are firing at you, you know, wow, what about Jesus? What about the Dead Sea Scrolls? What about this? What about that? And all these kind of things, you're like, I don't know. I don't know. Why are you interested in that? You're just trying to find ways to prove me wrong. I just accept that I'm right and we'll all be happy. I do use that one at home a lot. It doesn't go down very well. So our life would be so much easier if we could all agree that I'm always right and we move forward from there. I'm not always right. I get things wrong. But, you know, in that situation, it's like, God, give me wisdom because I need to answer this question. God, give me wisdom if I should even answer that question. God, give me wisdom because I don't even quite know what that person's on about. They've obviously tapped into something about the Christian faith, but I'm totally unaware of that. So, I don't know, you know, the like Wikipedia ninjas. You know, they've kind of like read loads of stuff on Wikipedia that anybody could have put on there. And they come firing stuff at you about Christianity. Like, I didn't even know that myself. Seriously, that's a thing. But, you know, it's like we've got to ask for the wisdom of God all the time. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't answer that. I'm sorry, I just don't know what you're on about. Or we can get to that place of a wisdom to be able to do one thing, and that's to bring it back round to the cross of Jesus. And when we ask for that wisdom, he gives us it. Okay, he must know the language of the people among whom he lives. And I was thinking about this, that it'd be quite strange to have an ambassador that couldn't speak the language of the nation that he was the ambassador to. He was getting up to be an ambassador but needed a translator. It might happen sometimes, but the ambassador at Faith Camp, the ambassador for Israel to the UK, was very well spoken in English. Because, yes, he's representing his nation, but he's representing his nation to another country. And to do that is to be able to speak the language and to speak to the people that are there in the language that they understand. How important it is for an ambassador to be able to communicate in a foreign country in some way or another. It wouldn't be much of an ambassador if you couldn't communicate, would you?
No.
It's like, I'm the ambassador. And that's all you could say. It's like, okay. And? Here's a Ferrero Rocher. We need to be able to communicate the gospel in ways that others understand.
Yeah.
So the language that we need to be able to do is take the things of heaven, our home, and put them in a way that someone who isn't a citizen of heaven, in a way that they can understand.
Yeah.
And that's been able to, again, it's accessing the wisdom, but knowing of ways to speak to people. Knowing that, realistically speaking, those of us that are citizens of heaven, have become a follower of Jesus, have a different language. Just look at some of the words in your Christian concordance. That's a book of and of itself. If somebody's never been to church, they don't know what a concordance is. A concordance, for those that don't know, is a bit like a biblical dictionary. It's got all the words in it and explains the different words that even half of them I don't understand. And, you know, but we kind of like, we slip into this thing like, wow, opportunities come to share my faith with somebody. And we're throwing all these words. And I've literally watched this happen firsthand, where somebody was just absolutely at this person. And I literally saw the person's eyes glaze over. And they're just looking at this guy like, and it was gone. It was lost. I was like, you've even lost me, mate. It's like, what are you on about? It's not that complicated. Why do you have to put that in there? But we need to learn to be able to speak to people. I'm not talking about learning the language of the world. OK, Okay, what I'm talking about is being able to take what we understand and know and love and communicate it to people in a way that they can understand and know and love as well. Using, just dropping certain words makes a massive difference. Just the little subtle changes that make it understandable. And there's quite a few people that are great at that. Great examples is Nick, what's his face? I think he's, who does the VeggieTales stuff and what's in the Bible. He can communicate on a level, not only the gospel, but the gospel for kids in a way that I watch amazed every time. Because I learn stuff. I'm like, this is supposed to be for kids, and I'm watching it like, I never knew that before. That's brilliant. And he's got an amazing ability to speak the language of heaven on earth in a way that's understandable. And, you know, there's lots of other people that just have an amazing ability to do that. You don't feel like you're listening to a preach per se. You're just listening to somebody that's speaking with passion about their nation, if I can use that. Okay, the message of an ambassador of God is clearly defined in 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Our message is a message of reconciliation, of man back to God. God has made a way for you to get back to him. Come back to God. Be reconciled to God. That is the message that we take from our home into the world. We take that message of reconciliation to say, come back to God. Come back to God. A way has been made through Jesus Christ for you to come back. We are to proclaim the fact that an infinite cost to himself, God has made a way to reconcile people back to him possible. And that's been done by sending his own son to die for sin. And through his sacrifice, that barrier of sin has been removed, and God has made man a way back to him and brought us together again. The ambassador is to proclaim the message and tell men and women that these are God's terms of reconciliation. There's usually terms. An ambassador has to take terms. These are God's terms of reconciliation. And dare I say that we must press people to accept these terms to be reconciled back to God. The terms: turn from your sinful ways, ask for forgiveness, accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. These are the terms. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to Jesus. Be reconciled back to Jesus. The ambassador's message is of absolute certainty. We don't go second-guessing the message that we're taking. We don't have to second-guess our leader anytime. I'm sure that at some points an ambassador in a role in the world must find themselves in a situation and think, I'm not entirely sure about this. I'm not sure I agree with this, but this is my job, so I better go and represent in the way that I'm supposed to. For us, it's absolute certainty. We know the message that we take is 100%. It is the message of God, and it is the truth. It's one of great heavenly and spiritual authority. We carry authority with that message when we take it out. Finally, the motive of an ambassador. I'm going to close with this one. Number one, the love of Christ. His love for us and in us compels us to go with this message of reconciliation. The love of Christ, not only the love of Christ for us, but the love of Christ that works through us. It compels us to go with this message of reconciliation. The great love of God, the great love of Jesus stirs inside of us to take that love out into a hurting world. Number two, the judgment seat of Christ. One day our King will recall us. And then in Romans 14:12 it says this: yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. One day we're going to have to go and report back on the mission that we were sent on. As an ambassador, I should imagine they have to go back to the person that's sent them and report what's happened. This is what we did. This is what happened. This is how it went. This is what went wrong. This is what didn't go wrong. One day our King, Jesus, is going to recall us and we will give an account of what we've done. And we want to make sure that the account that we give is a good one, don't we? Yeah. We want to be able to stand before him knowing that we've done what we were asked to do, that we will hear, good and faithful servant, well done. You've been a good ambassador. You've represented heaven well. You've represented me well. And number three, the dire need of the lost. The fact that man are lost and bound for a Christless eternity should stir us. Now, I often think to myself, this doesn't stir me as much as it should. I don't get as stirred up by this as I know I should be. Not only to live so that we can truly represent our Lord, to proclaim with passion the message that he has come to save those that are lost. He has come to save those that are lost. And that's being committed to us. That's been given to us. That role, that job, part of being an ambassador is to do that as well. So the three motives, the love of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and the need of those that do not yet know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So there's lots of stuff there, and I'm sure there's lots of other characteristics, there's lots of other motives, there's lots of other marks, messages of an ambassador for Christ that we could go into, but these are the particular ones for today. So I just want to encourage us to go out and just be great ambassadors for Jesus. Great ambassadors of Jesus in the world, and great ambassadors of Jesus to one another. You know, that sometimes it's great when we're able to learn from someone else's way of doing things. When we look and think, man, that person's doing something really good. And we learn from that. And sometimes when we learn from that, it means learning that we were maybe wrong. And we're going to have to change a few things. We're going to have to change things. We're going to have to put things right. We're going to have to do stuff that we look and think, okay, I need to shift this around. And we can learn a lot of that from being ambassadors to each other as well. As we are good ambassadors, we look and think, man, that person's been a really good ambassador for Christ. I'm learning this from them. Nothing like faith camp to be Christ ambassadors to each other, eh? When it's all crumbling down and it's kind of like, you know, you can't put your child in their room when they're screaming their head off. You have to put them in their room in the tent and the whole of faith camp can hear it. Or you have to do this, you have to do that. It's like, oh, you're kind of like, I don't like seeing people first thing on a morning, but I've got to go to the toilet and everybody's outside my tent and I've got to walk through this channel of people like a wedding parade and I don't want to. But that opportunity to be ambassadors to one another, you know, there's nothing like faith camp for building fellowship, seriously. You know, you camp in a tent next to the person for 7 days and, you have a real opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ to one another and strengthen that ability. It's a great opportunity to do that. But as we go out into the world as well, to be those ambassadors that people look and think, man, they are a good ambassador for where they're coming from. They're a good ambassador for heaven. They're a good ambassador for their home. And when we say, you know, we sometimes say, don't we? No, we're not of this earth. We're of heaven, and we are. And who we represent is someone very different to who anybody else is representing, which is an awesome thing. So go and be a great ambassador in the world this week. Be an ambassador to one another this week. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, God, pray that you strengthen us. Thank you that we go with the whole of heaven's resources behind us to do what it is you want us to do, to be who it is that you want us to be, that we don't go, we're not sent out on a mission not equipped, but you have equipped us and you have got the resource of heaven behind us. We've got the love of Christ for us and within us. And I thank you for the opportunity to be considered and named as an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven and for the King of heaven, Jesus Christ. In your precious name, amen. 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 Just